Blog Talk Radio.
Another bite at the apple is my new priority. Another taste, no time to waste, a fresh opportunity. Another bite at the apple, take advantage of that break. Another go movie tackle, it's a step I have to take. New Year's Eve, I don't believe the ball had fallen down. A girl walks in and I begin to check her all around. Eyes on the clock, we start to talk, begin to play our game. The ball ends its slide, she slips outside, I didn't get her name. Another bite at the apple is my new priority. Another taste, no time to waste, a fresh opportunity. Another bite at the apple, take advantage of that break. Another go movie tackle, it's a step I thought things were going well, but now I'm thunderstruck. I have to try to find that girl, it's gonna take some luck.
John Talk Radio. I'm your host, John Darlington. This is the first day of December of 2021. And our special guest tonight is Mike Browning. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. Mike Browning has a new album out. And what we're going to do tonight, we're going to take the first part of the show, roughly 20 to 30 minutes, and talk to Mike about the album. The album is called Class Act. And I know we're going to ask Mike a lot of questions tonight, but one of the most important ones is how can people purchase this? Once they hear it tonight, Mike, I know they're going to want to get it. So I know it's on, I think it's on Bandcamp, but what other websites or what other ways can they purchase your new album?
Okay. It is on Bandcamp. It's also digitally available on Amazon, iTunes, and Apple Music, and you can get a CD from Cool Cat Music.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, you're a cool cat if you're on Cool Cat Records. I really like those guys over there. They do a great job. Get a lot of good music coming out of that place, including
yes,
yours. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So let's get started here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your love affair with music and how, you know, things kind of worked up to where they are. What were some of your earlier influences? How did you get started playing music? And just tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, I would consider myself a late bloomer musically. The only thing I played growing up was the radio. And I didn't pick up a guitar until I went off to college. And I think my sister still has the old Stella that I took to college with me. I grew up, listening to, Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Marty Robbins, a lot of country, but a lot of rock and roll too. My parents loved music, and they had a lot of records, and we played music in the house a lot. And my dad was from a musical family. He was in a barbershop quartet with three of his brothers.
Wow.
And so fast forward up to 2001, that's when I joined my first band called Close Enough. And we sort of got the idea. An old college chum of mine, Jack Dalby, played guitar and sang. And a friend of mine that I was working with, I worked for the phone company for the first, for the first 30 years after I got out of college. And I worked with this fellow named Gene Beavers, who grew up in Philadelphia, moved down to Baltimore, and then he moved to Manassas, Virginia, near where I was living. And he had been in band since he was like 15 years old.
Hmm.
And didn't have anybody to jam with. So I just mentioned in a work meeting that we were in, both in one day, hey, you know, I play a little guitar. You want to get together. And so that's how Close Enough started. Our first drummer was a friend by the name of Terry Burcham. And then left for other pursuits. And then Jack's brother-in-law, Marty Rank, who's a firefighter in Fairfax County, Virginia, joined up as a drummer. And so we played for about 5 years, and that was a lot of fun. And then I just, sort of would pick up a guitar every now and then after that. But I had never written any songs. We played was covers.
Mm.
And Close Enough. And I didn't write my first song until a couple of years ago. I ran into Jamie Hoover of the Sponge Tones at the local Dairy Queen after we took in a Sponge Tones show here in Southport, North Carolina. And much to my delight and surprise, I found out that Jamie was living here also. He had come from Charlotte. That's where the Sponge Tones are based. And he told me he was teaching a class on recording and production, and he encouraged me to take it. And
wow.
So I signed up, and this was in March of 2018. I've been taking the class pretty much continuously since then. And that's how I learned to record myself. And it was later that year that I wrote my first song, which was actually a co-write with Jamie, which is on my first EP, Never Too Late, which I think most of the songs you played on your show. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
But Never Too Late came out in October of 2020, and I Didn't Realize I Was Lost was the song that I wrote with Jamie.
Now, that's interesting because I've known Jamie a while. I've actually had him on the show, him and Steve Stokel, before. And I've always been amazed at the Sponge Tones and, kind of thought that they would be more famous than they got. But a really good band. And I just interviewed Terry Draper 2 weeks ago, I think, or last week. And Jamie Hoover is on Terry's new album. So
yes,
that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I was there with Jamie's the other day, and he played me a song that they worked on together. So that was cool.
It's pretty amazing stuff. And here's a question I have for you, Mike, on that. So the course, when you're going to and taking Jamie's class, it's like so many times a week, and you just it fits into like a quarter or a semester, and then you just does the class just is it an advanced class after that? How does that work?
Well, we kind of fly by the seat of our pants in that. You never know how many new people you're going to get to sign up for the class. It's once a week. We do it on Monday afternoons. And we pretty much do it all year. It started out as an 8-week course. And then it became, because a lot of the same people were signing up for it time after time, they turned it into a 16-week course.
Okay.
And then... So it's 16 weeks in the fall, 16 weeks in the winter, and then there's an 8-week summer session. And that's how it works. We meet once a week, and Jamie teaches us how to use Cubase, the digital audio workstation that he's been using for a long time. And you know, he's taught us, you know, miking techniques and how to, you know, set up properly to get a good vocal recording, you know, what kind of effects make a good sound for, you know, the different instruments. The one thing that we haven't been able to do yet that Jamie's really itching to do, and I don't know how soon we'll be able to do it. I know they're expanding at Brunswick Community College to build a music room. But the one thing we haven't been able to do yet is mic up live drums.
Oh, okay.
The drums that we do in the class have been Jamie's MIDI kit.
And what equipment does he have available right there? And then say, like, do you have a soundboard and all of that available? I was just wondering what kind of physical equipment was there.
Well, in the classroom, we have Jamie's laptop, a Focusrite Scarlett interface, and a couple of studio monitors. And then as we record, you know, Jamie will bring in some of his microphones, you know, depending on whether we're recording instruments or vocals. You know, someone who's going to record like an electric guitar part, you know, we might bring in an amp and a guitar, which he'll mic up. But that's it. It's essentially the Cubase software is on Jamie's laptop. We run the microphones or the guitar cable through the Focusrite interface, and then it's you know, whatever equipment that you know, we decide to bring in to record.
So is this something that the students can integrate into their own studio at home and build their own personal studio and have their own, you know, record their own music? Is that the goal? Have you done that, or is that what Jamie's working on everyone to do?
Absolutely. That's everybody has their own copy of Cubase. There's three different levels. There's Elements, Artist, and Pro. Pro's the full version. And you know, all of the students have, you know, their own setups at home. During the early days of the pandemic, when we were doing the class via Zoom, we would record our parts at home and then share the files on Dropbox, and that's how we would exchange files for working on the song that we work on in class.
Yeah, I guess to me, you know, I've talked to lots of people, Mike, that bands that have never met, you know, they just send files back and forth, you know, from overseas and all kinds of things. And that's always kind of blown my mind how, and I understand that part, but it's how you can get it to sound like a band's in a room. You know, how you can get the people to the harmonies, the timing and all of that just is really incredible to me how that can happen. So you guys work on that. I mean, it's, I've never personally been in a live studio where a band has recorded before. I've always wanted to, and I know a couple that I could probably go and just hang out and watch, but tell how, just
yeah,
walk
oddly
us through
enough,
a little bit.
I have never been in a studio either. I've done all my recording either at the school or here at my house.
Yeah, and I've always wanted to. I know there's a couple of really, I live close to Columbus, Ohio, and there's some classic ones, man. I mean, they've been around for quite a while. And Musical is one that has, that they, you know, press vinyl, and they've gone back like 50, 60 years. And I've always wanted to just go hang out, you know, just, could I just walk around and listen, you know, just to see what's going on? Because
yeah.
It's always,
no,
explain a little bit how it works for, like, you're laying down a track, somebody else is laying down a track, you know, putting down a guitar track. How has Jamie taught you guys how to put that all together so that it sounds like it's one thing?
First of all, Jamie encourages each one of us to record as much of the song that we're studying as our skills will allow. So if we're doing a song that requires a couple of guitars and a bass and a drum and a vocal, then he encourages each one of us to do our own versions, whatever our skills and I guess whatever what we're, you know, each incented to do, to learn as much as we can about, you know, what works for each kind of instrument and whatnot. Everybody, you know, records what they want to for the song that we're studying. We send the tracks in, and then, you know, sometimes if it's a song that everybody wants to do a lot of work on, we have a lot of tracks to try to sync up. And so Jamie does, you know, a lot of demonstration in the classroom. And we just sort of model what he's shown us to create our own mixes of you know, maybe both the class version of the song and our own individual versions of the song.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, you had a really good trip to the Dairy Queen that day. That worked out pretty well.
it certainly was, and. I have to give all the credit to Jamie because, I mean, if it hadn't been for him, you know, I wouldn't have pursued any of this. I mean, I never had any, well, I can't say that I hadn't had any thoughts of writing a song, but, you know, every song I ever wrote or ever tried to write before ended up sounding like Chopsticks.
I can always tell Mike if I play the guitar and I play the bass, but if I come up with a song and I play it for my wife, I can always tell by her expression, you know, it's like, okay, I need to go back and work on it a little bit. But I think I've talked to a lot of folks, and I'll ask you the same question. When you write a song, when you get, you know, where you think someone else can hear it, there's always one person you bounce it off of. It could be your wife, could be your best buddy, could be somebody in your band. Do you have somebody like that you do it to?
I do. I actually have four people that I bounce songs off of. And of course, my wife Janine is the first one. you know, she hears it right here in the house. And then I, as my mentor, you know, I usually send it to Jamie to get his comments. And there's another person in the class named Rich Rossi, who actually did the he painted the cover for Class Act.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
You,
I like
you
that.
You also may be familiar with his work as the one who organized the For the Record John Wicks tribute that came early in 2020.
Great record. I mean, it is a sensational album. I really like every song on that thing. It's great.
Yeah.
It's really
and then
good.
The fourth person I bounce ideas off of is my old bandmate and college chum, Jack Dalby, who, you know, we've shared, you know, pretty close to the same musical taste. And I always know that, you know, whatever I send him, I'll get a good, honest read, you know, reading back on.
Yeah. Well,
so
let's
that,
talk
yeah,
about.
So
I, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was
no,
just
I,
gonna
I
say,
just, I,
yeah, you got it. Go.
All right. I know from Jack, you know, we've known each other for such a long time. And of course we were in the band together. We had a lot of discussions about, you know, how we should do a song, when we were playing. And, I really count on him for, you know, for good, honest feedback. And I know I can always get it from him.
Yeah. And that's the key, I think, Mike, is the honesty part of it. It's like, you know, there's going to be people that are going to say, oh yeah, that's really great, to make you feel good. And then there's going to be the people that are going to say, well, you know, maybe that lyric is a little weak, or, you know, it sounds like another song or things like that. And I think that, you know, once you get a relationship like you're talking about, that, you know, it's priceless, because you know that they're going to tell you the truth. If it's good, they're going to tell you it's good. If it's bad, they're going to tell you it needs work. And it's something that you're not going to get upset about, because you're going to understand that they're, you know, they're just trying to help you out. So I think that's, you know, a very valuable partner to have in that. That sounds like you got a really good system going there.
Yeah.
Because your wife, you know, from mine,
you know,
they always are honest. I mean, that's the way it is. And it's
the way I want it. If I didn't want any hard truth, I wouldn't ask the question.
There you go. Yeah. Well, let's talk about Class Acts. And for the people that are listening, the first part of the show is the interview with Mike Browning, and the album is Class Act, and we will play it in its entirety and probably a little around 10 minutes from now. And I guess a couple things, Mike. The song selection, is that you on every instrument and vocals, or the people helping you? Talk about the song selection and what we're going to hear.
Okay. Well, on 10 out of the 12 tracks, those are songs that that we worked on in Jamie's class.
Okay.
So I had mentioned before that Jamie encourages us to do our own versions, and so on many of those songs, it's just me playing all the instruments and singing all the parts. I am not a drummer. I do program the drums with Addictive Drums. That's Jamie recommended that as a really realistic sounding drum kit where the samples are actually played by people. But on some of the songs, I got some indispensable help from some of my classmates.
That's great.
And then two of the songs were recorded not with the class in mind. The first song that I ever completely recorded by myself was Norwegian Wood, and I did that as a Valentine's Day gift for my daughter, who's a Beatles fan and Norwegian Wood is one of her two favorite Beatles songs, along with Nowhere Man. And then the second song that I ever recorded on my own was I'll Never Find Another You, which is one of my wife's favorites, and I did that for her for Mother's Day in 2018.
That's
cool. Or 2019, I'm sorry. As soon as I had, you know, a couple of classes under my belt from Jamie, I mean, not just classes, but a couple of terms, I had enough confidence that I tried to do something myself, you know, complete and on my own. And so those were the first two. Those don't have you know, any of my classmates on it, because they weren't class songs. But those were my first two. And then, like I said, the other 10 were class selections.
Now, were the selections made by Jamie, or were they made by the group?
Well, what we usually do is, you know, Jamie will ask, you know, one of the students for a suggestion for the song that we work on for the term. And so that's how we get our choices, is somebody in the class picks a song and we all sort of nod our heads. Yes, we know that one. That'd be a fun one to work on. And then we go to it.
Yeah. I mean, there's some songs here that, you know, I love most of the ones I know, and I really enjoy. Norwegian Wood is like, you know, an incredible song that I think was one of the songs that just kind of like Lennon telling this story, and you started thinking it was more than just, you know, yeah kind of a thing. Had a little depth to the lyrics. And Little Black Egg, that's funny because that song, I was talking to a friend of mine today, and we played in bands back in the 60s and into the 70s, and Little Black Egg was, everyone played that. It was like everyone.
It's got a cool little guitar riff, and it's not very hard.
No, about everybody could do it.
Yeah. And so we used to do it in Close Enough. And so that's a fun one.
It's you know, if you listen to the lyrics, and it's kind of strange. And wasn't that by the Nightcrawlers? Did I get that right?
The Nightcrawlers, that's right. My understanding is that once they signed up to do an Easter concert with the Beach Boys back in 1965, they wrote the song for the occasion.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. You always learn something. And Give Me Some Lovin', that's a song from way back. My Back Pages, great songs, man. I mean, just really incredibly awesome tunes. Which one was your favorite one to do?
Well, my favorite one was Do It Again. I've been a Beach Boys fan for a long time, and Do It Again is my favorite Beach Boys song. And I believe it or not, I did not suggest that song. One of my classmates suggested it, and my wife Janine actually sings on that one. She does the Brian Wilson part on the chorus.
That's really cool. Yeah.
I couldn't quite get up that high, and I asked her if she'd be willing to give it a shot, and she did, and she knocked it out of the park.
That's great. I don't think Brian can get that high anymore either, so don't feel too bad.
Maybe not.
But he always has a couple people beside him to help him out. Used to be Jeffrey Foster,
right,
but I don't think he's playing with them anymore. Well, let's see. That's a really cool project. It started, you know, you went to a Sponge Tones show, and ran into Jamie, and I just think it's cool what he's doing with a class like that, because
he's very generous with his time and his knowledge, and he loves doing it. It's plain to see that he loves what he's doing, and everybody in the class really enjoys it, and you can tell that's true by how many times people sign up for the class over and over again.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably so much you can teach. You just can't do it in a few classes. You would have to just keep going over and over. So that's really cool. Yeah, and he is – I see his name popping up all over the place. Like I said, you know, he was on Terry Draper's. I see him every once in a while. You'll say, oh, yeah, look, there's Jamie doing work there, you know, producing and all kinds of stuff. So he's a musician's musician. There's no doubt about that.
He certainly is.
Yeah. So Mike, is so really cool to have you on. We're getting just about ready to play your album in its entirety. Anything you'd like to say or anything you'd like to say about the album before we get started here?
Well, I want to thank real quickly the people who actually played on the album. Jamie played drums on three of the songs. Jenny, Give Me Some Lovin', and Picture Book. Glenn Erb played guitar on several of the songs. Patty Webb does vocals on You Ain't Going Nowhere. And Jim Bradley does most of the guitar work on You Ain't Going Nowhere as well. So I want to thank them for their contributions to the project, and to Richard Rossi for drawing such a great cover.
Yeah, a nice little Rickenbacker.
Yep.
Or as they say, Rickenbacker, as Tom Petty would say.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much, man. It's just great talking to you. I hope we can do this again. When you have some more music coming out, we'll definitely get together and do it again. And I wish you and your family a wonderful holiday season.
And back at you, my friend. I appreciate it.
My guest is Mike Browning. We're getting ready to play his album, Class Act, in its entirety. You can get it on Bandcamp.com. It's MikeBrowning.bandcamp.com. Also, go to Cool Cat Records, and they'll send you a CD if you pay for it. And it's also, I think you said, it's on Amazon and Apple Music and all the good download sites like that, all the streaming sites.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. And I'd just like to say thank you to all the listeners, the people that have made this show possible. And this will be on podcast probably about 3 or 4 minutes after the show's over. So if people miss the show, they can go on Blog Talk Radio and listen to it in podcast form. And it goes all the way back to November of 2008, when we did our first shows. So I really am humbled and feel great that we've been able to do this and interview a bunch of folks. We had our 1,000th show not too long ago and episode, and we just I love talking to musicians. I love talking to people, Mike, that love music, and it's a great thing. And we could you and I could probably talk music for hours, but
I have no doubt.
Yeah, we could talk about. I don't know if you've seen the Beatles Get Back yet. Have you watched that yet?
I have. Yeah. I watched the third part Sunday morning.
I haven't watched the third part yet. I've had kind of a busy week, and we're looking forward to doing that this weekend. But yeah, there you go. That's the greatest band in the world recording stuff. So it's like, wow. It just blew my mind when they had that footage. But thank you so much, Mike Browning. Thank you, Independent Music Showcase, John Talk Radio people. We'll be doing the 15-minute music break tomorrow. It's every Tuesday and Thursday at 12 o'clock, and we play a lot of different music. So tune into that. Put it in your background. Mike, thank you so much. Have a great evening.
You're welcome, John. Thank you.
Thank you. And this is Mike Browning's album, Class Act, in its entirety. Everybody just sit back and enjoy.
It's automatic when I talk with old friends. A conversation turns to girls we knew when their hair was soft and long, and the beach was the place to go.
say she once had me. She showed me her room, isn't it good, Norwegian wood. She asked me to stay and she told me to sit anywhere. So I looked around and I noticed there wasn't a chair. On a rug, biding my time, drinking her wine. We talked until two, and then she said, it's time for bed. Sleep in the bath. And when I awoke, I was alone. This bird had flown. So I lit a fire. Isn't it good, Norwegian wood?
Now my temperature's rising and my feet hit the floor. Crazy people knocking cause they're wanting some more. Let me in, baby, I don't know what you got, but you better take it easy, this place is hot. And I'm so glad we made it, so glad we made it. You gotta give me some loving,
loving every day. tricks that you used on me. You're reading all them high fashion magazines, the clothes you're wearing, girl, are causing public scenes. I said, I'm not just stepping stone. I'm not just stepping stone. Didn't have no shoes, but now you're walking around like your front page news.